All right, what do you think? Intro time?
I think so.
Intro time,
I think
right?
We're ready.
3, 2, 1, go. So, hey, everyone. Happy Friday, officially. Welcome to the Digital Cash Rundown. This is episode 153. Doing one. It's starting to get up there. Eventually, I'm going to be like 4,487 or something. People are gonna be like however many, like, I don't even know why the Joe Rogan podcast still keeps track of how many numbers it is, because it's in the thousands, and it's like, man, that's a lot. But anyway, I'm joined by the one and only Nurgirl 007 or Nicole Grinstead. How's it going?
Hey, it's good. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm fired up today, but I'm happy.
I saw you drink your coffee real fast, so I believe you're fired up.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Also, part of it is because I decided not to start the fire today, and so it's cold in here. And so
okay.
I'm just like, but yeah, lovely St. Patrick's Day flair for you. It's
Thank
not
you.
The day yet, right? Is that Sunday?
It's Sunday, but I was like, you know, I bought this for a party that I'm going to on Saturday night. And mm-hmm. I was like, then when am I ever going to wear it again? Maybe next year. And then I was like, today is the perfect day.
Yeah. Well, I guess I need to start investing in some green shit then to wear over the weekend. So,
yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's just fun, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We already have a super chat, but let me just hit the hold on. I'm just gonna actually just hit the super chat then, just because
All
it's
right.
just it's not a so one time. Hi, one time. It says, hi Joel and Nicole, happy meme coin season.
Yes.
Our friend one time has been aping into publicly said at least, aping into yeah. Horan or the the Elizabeth Horan token.
Okay.
I don't know if you've seen that one, but it's
I haven't.
It's crazy. It's
okay.
It's just a weird meme coin to like make fun of Senator Warren. So
okay.
Elizabeth Horan is what it's called.
Okay.
So it's doing well, I guess.
Have you been into any meme coins? Because like it is fully meme coin season, and you know I have to like degen a little bit.
I haven't had time, to be honest.
You haven't? I'm Mog.
So which ones do you like?
I mean, like, my meme coin of choice this meme coin season has been Mog. Mostly just because, like, they started kind of, like, tweeting at me a lot, and I was like, what is this? And they sent me some, like, videos and some content that they made for promotion, and it was, like, the most hilarious advertising
yeah.
that I had ever seen, and I was just like, Yeah, I'm in, you know, and it's up like crazy. So it's been a great meme coin buy.
Yeah, I mean, I just haven't had time. If I had time, I know a lot of people that I know, like in the Dash community in particular, have been talking about Whiff. They're all about Whiff.
Oh, yeah, I've heard a lot about Whiff.
Because
yeah.
it's like a Doge with a hat. And that is something special, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, so meme coin season's in full effect. I'm clearly all about the Doge. Or not all about, but it's just you pay tribute to it existing. Doge has been putting up some actual numbers on the blockchain itself, like millions of transactions a day, 20 to 40 grand in fee revenue per day, which is higher than most. It's like the only non-Bitcoin or Ethereum thing on the crypto fees ranking right now. I'm sure Solana's above it, but it's not on there yet. So, yeah, pay all the respects to the memes. Our favorite friend, XK, says he can't watch it live, but he'll watch it tomorrow. Well, he's living in the future anyway, because he's in, anyway. So let's get to the stuff.
All right.
First and foremost, we got to talk about Coin ETM Radar, the bag throwers at me, as it were. And they're, I really, last time when I talked up, well, I did the little read afterwards, we talked about their, they've been doing some spicy takes on X. Like, they're very much against the whole Bitcoin maxi way things have been going. And so, yeah, very fun alliance stuff. So anyway, This podcast is indeed sponsored by CoinATM Radar. When buying crypto with cash, an ATM is much more reliable and safer than meeting some random person in a random place. Much less stabby, you know? And unlike an exchange which could freeze your account, hello SBF, you truly own all the crypto you buy. With CoinATM Radar, you can find crypto ATMs and other services where you can buy or sell cryptocurrencies for cash. On their website, you can search by coin, address, if the ATM supports selling as well as buying, which I'm not a buyer, I'm a seller, right, when I use it. Yeah, and you can also search by geo area. You can check and compare current fees at different ATMs. Want to find out more? Head over to coinatmradar.com or coinatmradar.com or com, in case you don't know how to spell com for some weird reason. So that's them. They're cool people. I've actually used CoinATM Radar for many years, and it was kind of surprised they decided to try to throw me a bag, which is nice. But
that's nice. Yeah, very nice. Yeah. Hey, if you guys need some like articles or PR or something, hit me up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that they would. I'm sure when they're like, you know what? This dude, we're not getting our money's worth with his lame little shill attempts per...
No, I'm not trying to take anything instead. Away from you. I'm trying to add.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. You know.
I would never. I would never.
Yeah. So
one of my longest alliances in cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So XK is also asking if I'm going to be okay with... my voice going stuff. Yeah, my voice is okay. I'm just getting over a sniffle, but it is what it is. So the big news is, of course, my dear friend, Dr. Craig, Shitcoiner, right? Or whatever the S is. What is the S in his name? Do you know?
Scott.
Oh, I hoped it was something dumb, but, so anyway, and it's not in the tweet I included, but basically he had this lawsuit with the Crypto Open Patents Alliance about like patents of using Bitcoin tech, etc. And it was basically a lot of it was over who is the creator of Bitcoin, Satoshi Nakamoto, which he was sort of trying to patent troll. And more importantly, the BSV world really put a lot into this trial, saying that it would decide once and for all that he is Satoshi, basically prove it and allow him to, you know, do his stuff. And they really, like, every day of the trial, people were like, oh, look at the suit he's wearing, all of this and that. And then look at the flair and all this kind of stuff. And I have to say, watching the two sides talk about it was like night and day, because they're like, oh man, he's in control. He's firm, commanding. You know, that they're fumbling, they're panicking, oh my gosh. And like the other side is like, Craig Lamb himself look like a loser and a fraud, and he's gonna, like, the same set of facts and then two just, it's not just like I think this or I think that, but just completely different, because you have two parties which are just not invested in the truth whatsoever. They have their preconceived notions and just hope
right
can win, which makes these clips a little funner to play. And I should say, this Mr. Hodel dude who clipped these from an X space with BSVers, I had to log into a different account because he blocked me a long time ago. So again, these aren't my friends, I'm just saying. But I gotta play the little audio real quick. You probably won't be able to hear it. I'll be able to hear it, but if you want to poke in your pocket, you want to jump into your Twitter and listen to it or whatever, you can.
Yeah, I think I want to. Yeah. So I should mute myself.
Yeah, mute
so
yourself and listen to this. It's just two like minute long clips at most.
Okay. Let me
go play that real quick, because this is too much fun.
Reach the conclusion that the evidence is overwhelming. So for the reasons that I will make certain declarations which are useful and are necessary to be given to the parties. First, that Bitcoin, that Dr. Wright is not the author is the Bitcoin white paper. He is not the person that is under the operating under Satoshi Nakamoto. Third, he is not the person that created the Bitcoin system, and he is not the author of the Bitcoin software. Any further relief will be given in my written judgment. until 21 days, which will be appointed following my hand down of my written judgment. So I'm afraid for any further information, you'll have to wait for the written judgment. Cobra would now like to thank the... I can't think how we would have done this system. So thanks very much to the operator and the people at the back.
Wow, okay. What? That was very quick.
I'm loving these silences.
Anyone want to come up and discuss that?
So it was on a delay, so I stopped it because I, like, I don't know, is it still playing?
Did he just give judgment?
Yeah.
I think so.
Did he just give judgment? Almost. So much silence in this. Like, that's the funny part about
Fuck.
It. Fuck.
I think he just gave judgment.
So, for those who, everyone heard it, I guess, anyone listened to this, but there was a space with some BSV folks, and no ill will meant or meanness or whatever, but holy crap, is that funny. They were just live reading out the verdict that the judge gave, which is basically, Satoshi's not, Craig Wright is not Satoshi, he's not the creator of Bitcoin and all this kind of stuff, and will give his full written thing in 21 days or something. But it was like losing live, and the really timid kind of reading of that plus the silences really kind of underscores these people were blindsided by this. And not only blindsided, but they were very not happy with it. Like, very, this is important. Very important. Hit them unexpected, completely unexpected, and was very sad to them. So, what are some of your thoughts on all that?
Well, okay, so I will say that I have seen some, like, pretty funny memes come out of this in the last couple of days. Like, have you seen, I think Kurt posted something that I thought was hilarious.
Like, I didn't actually see his.
Okay, hang on. I'll find it, and then I'll send it to you. So Kurt posted a meme. He said, I'll send it to you so you can put it up. Just going to send it to you on Twitter. He said, he put a picture of Craig up. He said, you got to hand it to Craig. He turned the Bitcoin anarchists into worshipers of the decrees of truth of a British lord who wears a robe to work for the courts every day. Well played. That was pretty funny.
Yeah.
You know?
I saw that. Like, I did see that one. Mm-hmm. I thought it was, you know, it was kind of funny. It's a, like, no offense to Kurt. I thought it was a little bit of, like, a cope because, like, mm-hmm. a lot of, like, the BTC people, or, I mean, BSV people were supposed libertarians or supposed whatevers, including Kurt himself. Mm-hmm. And the stock that they put in, you know, this, the immutable technology, all this into what some random judge has been saying is kind of weird. And, like, maybe I'll have to chat with Kurt, have him on or something and hash out. I don't know if it's just like giving, I don't know if it's worth just trying to get him on to give him a hard time. And, like, you know, we just don't agree on
this,
right?
He's a pretty good sport. He's a good sport,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, I know. Maybe. It just, I do know, like, he's been saying, like, this is why personalities don't matter and, like, don't obsess over personalities and all this kind of stuff. And who cares who isn't Satoshi, while at the same time posting tons of stuff, pictures about him, the trial of this and all this. Like, I would call that a little two-faced, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Like, saying, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, oh, the court case, that's those guys. No, it's you too. You were doing all this. It, like, I've had a historically very good relationship with Kurt. He's a cool dude and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. I like Kurt a lot.
I kind of just don't want to touch this with him because we won't get along as well. It just is going to happen. So, well, I kind of want, honestly, with the BSV crowd, I kind of want the people that I like in that crowd, I should say, I kind of just want to like not talk to them for like a year until they cool down. And just so I don't have to talk about this and have hurt feelings, just come back and start talking about other stuff when this is over, you know, that's kind of what I want to do. I just don't want to have to address it because we won't have like nice things to say, I guess. I'm just putting that meme up on the screen that you're talking about. Hold on. Here we go. Yep. It, as much as I just said, like, yeah, it's kind of a little bit of hypocritical for Kurt to say that, it's also true, right? Where you have all these don't trust verify people, but I don't give Craig Wright credit for that at all.
No.
Because they were already like sipping for Bukele and stuff for years, and then
Gary ETF
Gensler banned,
you know, Saylor, and I mean, like, you can't really argue that a huge portion of the Bitcoin BTC maximalists have been very pro establishment for a long time.
Yeah, as soon as they start to get any establishment like headwinds or headway or whatever. So then there's this other one that Aaron Day posted that was with the caption FAFO. And we could listen to that one real quick because that's very, it's a minute and a half and it's very pertinent to this whole thing. And apologies for all the playing of the media on this episode. I just thought that this is better than actually reading articles. So I don't like to read anyway. All right, I'm going to play this thing. I'm going to put it up on the screen. Yeah, I mean, I was homeschooled, so I read so much as a kid, and I'm done with like a book. I'm not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ready?
I have a book. Will you read it?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm going to call from this.
All right, that now we're simple. Playing.
I don't need to face trolls in rooms. That's why we have evidence. So here's the thing. Evidence. We have courts. You know what happens when you lie in a court? You know the maximum penalty in this country for perjury? It's about 20 years. Great. I'm going to be in court. Prove it in court. You get to send me to jail for 20 years. I get to put my evidence and other people get to put theirs. That's how real things work in the real world. Outside of this crypto shit sort of Twitter storm world where people sit there going, oh, Twitter matters. The real world, people have evidence and rules. People put documents out and get a chance to actually have them analyzed properly. People in the real world, outside Twitter, Facebook, and fake news, get to actually say, I'm sorry, I didn't create that. Just because someone wrote my name on a PDF didn't mean it came from me. And I'm not throwing Western culture away. I'm not throwing law away. I will do it in court where I will be held liable for my actions.
So basically he said, I'll prove all this stuff, not on the internet, not on Twitter, but in court where I'll be held liable for my actions. And he said, I will do it here, and you get to send me to jail for 20 years for perjury, is what he said.
Yep.
I personally do not think he's going to get sent to jail for 20 years. I don't know if he's going to get sent to jail at all, but it is on the table, which is...
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think this was an overcalculation? What do you think this was?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, I interviewed Craig like several years ago, I think in 2019, right after BSV forked from BCH. And he said the exact same thing when I interviewed him at that time, like, we're going to take this to court. I'm going to prove this in a court of law. And if I'm proven wrong, they get to put me in an orange jumpsuit.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, I don't know. I don't know how seriously they take perjury in these cases. I guess I don't know enough about the legal system and how overloaded the prisons might be, you know? But I was always opposed to the notion of like resolving these matters in courts of law, right? Because like, what's a court of law? How bullshit is that anyway?
Yeah, I feel like, I mean, I don't trust any justice system in any part of the world. I just don't. But if you need to resolve a matter like with real consequences, you do have to go there for the most part. Like as far as you're trying to say, you stole money from me, I want it back. Or you hurt me, you need to go to jail. Or like those kinds of big things. Or you need a settlement. I don't think just like, I'm Satoshi. Okay. Gives a shit, right? That doesn't need to be a court matter. Except he wanted to then, after, if he's telling the truth, which we know he's not, if release all this open source technology for the world, for the whole world to run and use, and just like such an open system, and then come back a few years later being like, hey, you can't use it without my permission. I want legal rights over who gets to use it. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Like,
yeah,
sounds almost like it's an opportunist coming, who is involved with Bitcoin legitimately in the early days, coming back and being like, can I get a piece of this now that it's proved to be valuable? That's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, like, you can't really deny that Craig was certainly involved in Bitcoin, like, very early.
Yeah.
Right?
And that's an uncomfortable truth, right? For someone to not believe he's Satoshi, but believe he was, like, somewhere, doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. But also, like, I made a joke, right? We're going to talk about people that we hate. And, like, I've never had hate for Craig, you know? Like, as much as, like, people dislike him and whatever, when I was getting started as a journalist in crypto, and he was already this huge name, he granted me an in-person interview, gave me tickets to, you know, to come to his, you know, conference, and has always been cool about communicating. So, like, I don't hate Craig, you know?
Yeah. My experience with him has been very limited. Mm-hmm. I tried to interview him when he first came out. As I pointed out elsewhere, by the way, when he first claimed to be Satoshi, I was the one to break the story for Cointelegraph. Uh-huh. And I still have that article. It's still up there somewhere. And that was 2016, I think. I remember it was like 3 a.m. or 4 a.m. my time when it dropped. I had to just like stay up all night cranking this thing out. And so, it's kind of funny, but I tried to interview him for something else and he kind of said yes, but then backed out later. And then more recently when he was on Twitter talking shit, I challenged very politely something he said, like, huh, interesting. How does this compare to where Satoshi said this here? And he was like, "Oh, blah, 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 blocked." And he just like blocked. All right, whatever. You know, I wasn't even confrontational. It was just like, whatever. But so I don't care about BSV or Craig or those people. Like, they don't matter to me. I do have to acknowledge that people I know, people I also don't know, have been affected by them. Like, Roger Ver, thankfully, has historically been loaded because when he gets sued, he can afford anything to just fight off the lawsuit, right?
Yeah.
That's fine. But then suing all the developers was like really not good. And that's where the COPA thing came out. I am not at all a fan of HODLNOT or of Peter McCormack, but I'm very grateful.
Don't they both have you blocked?
Not Peter yet. I've kind of tried because I call him like a pretend journalist and stuff like that. Stuff that's true, by the way. I mean, he's not he's a little bit of a slime ball himself, but whatever. I don't think just being an annoying, toxic slime ball on Twitter is like, you should like lose your job or your livelihood or any of that stuff. Absolutely not. So I'll defend, if you're watching this, Peter McCormack or HODLNOT, which I know you're not. but if you were, I will defend to the death your right to be the douchebag that pisses me off. Sorry. That's just what it is.
There you go. There you go, Joel. I mean, I agree with you. I agree with you there.
Yeah, so this is an interesting situation where now Calvin Ayer is taking a long leave of absence. I don't know what he's doing. He's like, oh, I haven't left, but I'm on vacation until further notice. Someone else is handling my comms. Like, okay. And all the BCHers are circling like sharks trying to like pick off Titanic survivors. It's like, it's funny because the BSV price crashed like 10%, and then it crashed more with the rest of the market. The rest of the market was going down.
Right.
Nothing catastrophic, but I mean, I don't, do you think it is on the whole kind of over for BSV?
I think that's something we were talking about, right? Like in the pre-show, and we were like, let's save this bit, right? Like, because I mean, a coin can survive without these, you know, leadership figures. Like BSV could survive, not necessarily with the like Satoshi Vision branding, but potentially as like a
how funny would that be, by the way, if they got sued to take away the SV because S is not true, clearly.
Right. Or what if it was like, you know, you just have to change the meaning of the S, right? So like
scaling vision. Perfect.
Yeah, Bitcoin scaling vision. And I mean, you know, with the rise of Bitcoin layer twos right now, could that actually be an opportunity for those who want to salvage BSV to do so? And would they have a better opportunity of actually gaining adoption for it without Craig associated? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's a very complicated subject because in the beginning, you had Bitcoin maxis, right? Mm-hmm. And then, we were all Bitcoiners, right? To be fair, I was never a full-on 100% Bitcoiner because as soon as other random tokens came around, I just started playing around with them. Like, I don't care. But, like, I was still mostly focused on Bitcoin before, you know, 2015, 16 era. But so you had the Bitcoin Cash world that split off. And there's clearly, one big vision for Bitcoin Cash, which in my opinion, the Bitcoin Cash of today with cash tokens and adaptable block size and all this kind of stuff seems to be pretty much the Bitcoin Cash where it would have gone after the fork. The problem was, our French buddy, Amaury Sachet.
causing the fork trauma.
Yeah, cool dude, but obstinate maybe, and just very visioned. And his vision for Bitcoin Cash, which is now live in eCash, is very like almost like Dash-like in a lot of ways. And it's just a lot of like, oh, we need some instant finality, some progressive stuff, instant finality for transactions. We need staking and extra security, and then we want to do some other stuff. And it's like, okay, but the community didn't like that. And that was the catalyst that I think today we can sort of agree that Craig Wright kind of wanted to scam people, but that was the jumping off point for him to launch BSV. And that was, a lot of people were upset at Amaury at that point who went with BSV. So that's like the legitimate breakoff. Now, later it turns out that Amaury was the catalyst, right? So you jettison Craig Wright and his people. Then you jettison Amaury and honestly, probably not a lot of people, but people who are just into the much more progressive vision. And as far as I know, I met one eCash maxi, right? But everyone else, are they're very reasonable and very kind of multi-coin and just like they're into eCash, but also, so those people could easily go into other projects, right? They're not necessarily, but most of the BSVers, if you ask me, should be back in Bitcoin Cash. They don't have to be, right? But they should. There were some, by the way, some BTC maxis who went to being BSV maxis. Did not go to the BCH route. They went straight over there. Those people are not going to be BCHers, I don't think. I think they're just going to keep on pumping out ordinals and stuff on BTC.
Yeah. It does make me wonder if BSV could survive as an ordinals chain, you know?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's just so much to do. I don't think you could. I think you need to do more.
It would take a hell of a rebrand.
Yeah. It would, honestly. Think about.
Hey, I know a really good PR agent.
Listen, I think, we could make that work, huh? So the real question here, right, is, so, and I've had this conversation with a few different people about a few different projects, and especially I think like the privacy coin space is interesting in this case, because like there's so many overlapping projects, so much cool tech being built on chains that nobody uses, you know? Mm-hmm. And the big question is like how to, like at some point the market needs to consolidate, and rather than just hard work and tech being lost, it'd be good if those projects lived on in a thing. So why couldn't BSV be a drive chain on BDC? You know, those merge mine sidechain things that Paul Storz is always talking about. I mean, wouldn't that work, huh?
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah, I mean, except for that, you know, BTCers hate BSVers and, you know, vice versa. So it would really take some, fork trauma healing to make that happen, I think.
Yeah, it's also interesting to note that, like, so the Ordinals people on BTC are some of the more powerful people in the ecosystem now, which I did not expect. Yeah. The Udis and the Erics and all that stuff. And a lot of them are, maybe not them, but a lot of people are BSVers who came into this whole thing. And so maybe they get to like finagle their way into having BSV be the like a bridge, a BTC token to BSV. And then if they're already doing that with freaking Liquid, I mean, it doesn't get much worse than that. I mean, you might as well use BSV for that. So it could be a complementary thing that way, or it just goes away and over time and people just start migrating over towards BCH. The thing that makes me think about that as the more likely solution is, first of all, how many people got into this cult of personality aspect of BSV, that it's like, wow, it's only Satoshi and this and that, and we have to be able to, and like, it just, that part got a huge blow. The tech is the same, but also the control that Enchain and all them and have over the chain, that there's like, Tal is like the one miner that controls the majority of the hash rate. And they implemented ways of repossessing coins from miners with a court order. And now that a court has clearly ordered stuff that they don't like, is the chain kind of DOA now? Like, I don't know. What do you think? Well, you can crunch for a little bit. Why don't you do that real quick? But yeah, the point is, it's an interesting situation. And like, where do people go when like projects go away? Like, I'm kind of a fan, I guess, of Digibyte. Like, I've heard it's one of those OG coins. It did some interesting stuff. I have nothing wrong with it. I like big block scaling, but I don't see it going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, I just think it's going away. I personally think, no offense to any of the people. And, I did have Digibyte Chilling on the show a few times before in the very early days. And he's a cool dude. Mm-hmm. Don't want to piss off anyone, but where do they go once there's no more Digibyte that really matters? Like,
yeah. Do they leave, crypto altogether, or do they go to different chains? I don't know. I guess we'll find out. We'll find out over the next few months what happens, right? Next months, years.
Yeah. On the next episode of Dragon Ball Z. No, that's a little sad now because the creator died recently, but whatever. So let's pivot to our buddy, Richard.
Richard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Richard.
So, Richard Hart, in his infinite wisdom, posted this post that he says Hex is much better than EHEX, the Hex on Ethereum, which it's weird that he's calling it EHEX when it was just Hex before. But now he's like, now there's Pulse Chain. He's like, why? Gas fees, blah, blah, blah. And right. So, and what if all the new buyers chose Hex instead of EX? What if all the buyers chose instead of blah, blah, blah? That's what he uses for. He says Hex on Hex. Hex is the Hex on Pulse Chain. The only part that sucks right. about saying this, blah, you should be selling one. You know, you should choose wrong. Anyway, basically a ton of words that just says, stop using Hex on Ethereum, the original Hex, I guess. Start using it on Pulse. Please, sell your other shit. Get over here. And it tanked the price. And people yeah. freaked out. And that people was kind of funny to me. So what yeah. do you think?
I don't know that I interpreted it as like sell all your EHEX, right? Or like EES your stakes and get out of it. But what is insane as someone who like it didn't really matter to me, right? Because I was like, well, either both chains are gonna have value. Hex is gonna have value on Ethereum and value on Pulse Chain. Or it's going to have more value on, you know, on one chain, on the forked chain, on Pulse Chain. And then I won't care that, you know, that it has no value on Ethereum and that all these tokens that I have staked on Ethereum have no value. But as someone who did retail arbitrage before I got into cryptocurrency, I will say that, like, no matter what Richard ever says or does, that smart contract will exist on Ethereum. So my perspective is that there will be a lot of people, and there have been a lot of people who, you know, early end staked their Ethereum Hex and, you know, bought PX or just bought Pulse or, you know, got out or whatever. The amount of payout per T-share for stakes on EHEX because of people early end staking has been insane. So the amount of EHEX that I now have relative to PHEX is like disparate, right? And I think that there's a chance.
You should rename it NHEX for Nicole Hex because you're going to own it, like all of
maybe. It. Maybe. Well, no, because there's people with much more T-shirts than I have. Yes. Right? But so the way that so it's like I did retail arbitrage before I got into crypto, where I would find things that I could, you know, in one marketplace, whether that was in person or online, that I could sell in another marketplace for more money, for profit. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was my job before crypto. So I think so the contract will always exist on Ethereum. There's nothing that anybody can do or say to change that. It's not like it can, you know, like it doesn't have admin keys. It can't be cut out of the chain or something. So I think that speculators will likely always, if there's a huge disparity in the prices between the chains, will likely speculate on the price of EHEX. I also know that there are people in the community saying that they intend to build things for EHEX on Pulse Chain that would allow people to stake EHEX on Pulse Chain or to do things with their EHEX on Pulse Chain so that the fees aren't as high. I don't know if that's what's going to happen. I'm not overly concerned about it because I wasn't like buying up a bunch of EHEX after I knew, you know, like after the fork was complete. Like it I know some people were, right? Mm-hmm. Like some people were buying EHEX because it was at a discount. And those people are very concerned. And I do feel for those people, certainly because they don't have a copy for everything that they had. But if I had to guess, I would say unless the OA dumps all of its EHEX, that there will always be some value of EHEX. Now, not like commensurate value, but I am not dumping all. I'm not like EESing my stakes and dumping everything just because I'm willing to. If it goes to zero, it goes to zero, right? I've got the PX copies. I'm good. Mm-hmm. But like, if it survives, like. That would be amazing. Like, even if it survives as a meme coin, you know, like meme coin season, right? So I'm not dumping everything. I am willing to bet that it has some value, you know, at a fraction of PHEX value.
Yep. And I have noticed there's like, I'm done trying to fight against the free market, right? Which yeah. I never thought I would. have done, but, you know, in the past, I'd be like, no, that's the wrong thing. Like, no, people do what they value, period. Yeah. And people like to play the hex game, right? They like to stake and see how it goes and all that kind of stuff, apparently. And people also, and Ethereum was the way, you know, you could do this. And then, oh, guess what? There's an ETH killer out there called Pulse Chain now. Does a lot of the same.
I want to say this, though. Like, Pulse Chain was not, a lot of people did talk about it as an ETH killer, mm-hmm. but like from the perspective of, you know, those of us who thought about it, clearly, we never really wanted to market Pulse Chain as an ETH killer. It was mm-hmm. more like, hey, it's a fork of Ethereum. Having some of the load off of Ethereum will not only decrease the fees on Ethereum, but will also decrease the fees on other chains. Ethereum clearly can't handle the current load. It's not an ETH killer. It's an ETH help. It's an ETH helper. Mm-hmm. I know that other people definitely did market it and say things like, you know, Pulse kills ETH, but I never said that.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm just saying, like, as far as the way the market has placed it, as in the ETH competitor lane, because there's all the EVM smart contract chains out there. And they're largely two big categories. There's ETH and its L2s, or whatever thinks it's an ETH L2, whatever that even means. It's a little fuzzy sometimes. And then there's competitors to the ETH ecosystem, the direct ETH ecosystem. And so you could call it Pulse, Avalanche, Solana for sure. That's the big one. And then, you know, Multiverse X, freaking Near, Tezos, all that in that ETH killer like camp, more or less, even though that's not the thing. But so the funny thing is, so you have this now, and people.
Ooh. My daughter just walked in. I think she needs her cell phone. Here you go.
That's funny. But so the when you have value in these chains, right? And so people might not want to do, not everyone, I should say, might want to do low fee stuff for Hex. Yeah. Some people want access to the ETH ecosystem. Like, they might have some big NFT mint and they just sold a bunch and they're like, ooh, you know what I could do with some of this? I could like degen into Hex and some other stuff right there. And they're not going to be like, well, it'll be cheaper on Pulse. Let me bridge to Pulse for it. No, they're not doing any of that. They're just going right in there. And so unless ETH shrivels and dies, or as you mentioned, like the origin address dumps on everyone, I think that EHEX, much to Richard's chagrin, might be around for a long flipping time. What do you think?
Yeah, I think so too. And that's why I'm saying, like, if it ends and it goes to zero, or, you know, whatever, nearly zero, fine, I'll survive, right? But I'm also not dumping everything on that speculation, because I just don't see that happening. Like I said, like, so here's an example, right, for retail arbitrage, right? So, like, let's pretend that you could buy the exact same thing on Amazon that you could on a dark web market. So, like, let's say that you could buy the exact same goods on Amazon and the dark web. And the advantage to buying it on the dark web is that maybe you don't have these, like, regulatory agencies, like, you know, all of, like, say, Pulse Chain being like the dark web, right? These, like, you know, entities that make you want to KYC and AML and, you know, all of these things on Pulse Chain, where these things potentially do exist on Ethereum. But as a result, you have to pay more for the thing that you're buying on the dark web market. And the thing that you can get the same thing on Amazon, but you have to KYC and AML. Maybe there are people who are going, well, I don't care. I'm going to KYC and AML and get the cheaper goods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It seems to me that that will be the case.
Yes, there will be lots of arbitrage, which arbitrage is a weird, fantastic thing that just increases availability and smooths out prices, places, and people get paid for their logistical support in smoothing out the economy in that way, right? Mm-hmm. Like, so much more expensive here, so much less expensive here. Well, let's, and someone gets paid to do the
Yep.
Which, for the audio listeners, I'm just doing one hand up, one hand down, you know, is, I don't know that is a, you know, standard definition in any term. Halawi did ask, he wanted to know a summary of all the Richard Hart coins / tokens. He says, what Hex versus Pulse versus EHEX versus Pulse X? So okay. I think we already covered Hex is NPX. On Pulse chain.
Right.
EHEX mm-hmm. is the Hex contract on Ethereum.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's PLS and what's PLSX?
Okay. So Pulse is the gas token for Pulse chain. It is the Ethereum equivalent on Pulse chain. So in order to transact on Pulse chain, you need PLS.
Hmm.
Is that a sufficient explanation for that?
What's PLSX then?
PLSX is the DEX token. So it's equivalent to like Uniswap, you know, okay. Uni, except for that it has some more features that Uni doesn't have. Like instead of being paid out for staking or like for, so you know how a lot of DEX tokens, they pay out their native governance token for rewards for LPs?
Mm-hmm.
So Pulse Chain doesn't do that, or Pulse X doesn't pay out rewards in Pulse X. They pay out rewards in INC, INC.
Okay. So it's just like part of like the DEX, the
it's the DEX token stuff. And it's deflationary. It's extremely deflationary. Every time a transaction happens on Pulse X, on the Pulse X exchange, some PLSX gets burned. Mm. So there's a lot of speculation about the value of PLSX. And INC is the token that's earned as a liquidity provider on
INC
Pulse
is
X.
Pretty liquid.
INC is pretty liquid, and there's a lot of speculation right now.
That was a pun. You missed my pun.
Oh, I did.
Like ink.
Ink. Yeah. Sorry, I missed it. I was too like in
You're
my head.
You're too smart for me. It's just that I make some dumb comments.
No.
It just goes under your head, you know?
There's a lot of speculation right now that ink will be the best performing token. And I don't, you know, in the Richard Hart ecosystem this cycle. And I don't know whether that's true or not. And I don't want to give anyone like false expectations. Right now, what I feel like is I don't own enough ink. So, like, in all of the Richard Hart tokens, that's the one that I'm attempting to accumulate more of at this moment.
Interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. So, to sort of cap off the whole price dump drama, I'm just going to post this meme that Richard sent of, he just said, Hexagons shooting EX and said, why would Richard Hart do this? And it's like... I mean, I would say that's like an 80% accurate. There's a 20% accurate. The 20% that he's leaving off is that he did kind of FUD the EHEX token and people lost money. But mostly he's right.
He didn't dump his, or, you know, the OA, right? The OA didn't dump EHEX. He said things knowing that he has a cult-like following and that people really, you know, believe and trust in him. So, like, certainly knowing that people would dump EHEX. But he himself, to our knowledge, right, did not dump his holdings of the token. The community did in response to something that he said. But I agree with you, like the meme that he made is like kind of funny. And then there's been a lot of people in the community making spin-off memes, because there's since the Richard Hart tweets, there's been like a major break within the community, right? Where everyone kind of used to be like, Richard is God. Richard is God. And like even some of those most devoted religious fanatics of Richard's are mad at him now.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, because he did employ his following, I guess, to try to get people to stop using ETH and use his chain. Because Pulse just, you know, like, maybe I'm speculating at this point. I'm definitely speculating. I'm guessing that Hex on the whole, at least in the early days especially, was quite successful. And that Pulse chain was very much hyped and was not as successful so far, as the original Hex. It was a little bit of like a letdown. And so part of this, as far as like speculation and all this stuff, but part of this might just be like, come on, guys, just freaking stop feeding ETH, go do this stuff now. Like, you liked the first one, you should like this, you know. Which, you know, I understand. But it is kind of funny. Now, he did have an interesting point next, which is a good segue into the next topic, by the way. It says, reminder that Ethereum L2s are not as secure as L1s. And if the centralized sequencer turns off, goes down, or disappears forever, in most cases, you cry and cry very hard. L2s are kind of a joke, and if you see red, it's bad. Here's the top 10, which is why Pulse Chain and ETH is L1. So, basically, it is you trying to say, like, look, you want to do cheap stuff? Don't go for the ETH L2 route. Go for the Alt L1 route. And it is a kind of interesting point here.
You've commented multiple times about how much you dislike Polygon due to the centralization and the, you know, ownership of the, you know,
yes, token. Which, by the way, you can buy an NFT for the Digital Cash Rundown, gets you into the super chat below. If you look on OpenSea, there's a collection on Polygon that lets you do this. So please go do that, by the way. But yes, screw Polygon. Keep going.
I know last time is the time that you told me that you had your NFTs on Polygon, and I was like, wait, yeah. So I think we should put some of your NFTs on Pulse Chain. I mean, like, what do we got to do to make that happen?
Well, to answer that very clearly, there needs to be an easy token gating solution for Discord. That if you have a Pulse NFT, the Discord bot will let you into my Discord or kick you out as soon as you sell it. That's it. I'll do it on anything. Okay. I told the Bitcoin Cash people I'll do a Cash Tokens NFT. I'll do anything. Mm-hmm. I just stopped supporting the Wax stuff because the Wax is just so clunky and stuff. And also, they actually charge you to have the bot. Whereas I use the Collabland bot for, you know, Ethereum stuff and Avalanche or whatever else. So anyway, if people want NFT on whatever chain, I will mint it. You know?
Yeah.
As long as it works, as long as the functionality I'm looking for is there.
All right. But, so there you go. If there's any Pulse builders you want to, you know, create.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. And so the L2 thing is a very important thing to point out because the ETH Denkun upgrade just came out. These weird names. But EIP was at 4844 or 8488. It's one of those things. I think it's a 484. I don't think there's been that many yet. And so I'm just gonna just this quick headline because I just saw it from the Defiant. It says transaction fees on layer 2 networks have dropped by between 50% and 98% following the activation of the Ethereum Denkun upgrade. The median cost for trade fees on Uniswap is also down 96%. So this upgrade has had a massive effect on L2 fees. Now, how much do you know about, you know, I hope I don't sound like a patron, but like, how much do you know about the whole L2 stuff and this?
Like, virtually nothing. So, you know, the company that I work for does a really popular podcast called All Roads Lead to Polygon. And this morning, their topic was all about the Denkun upgrade. And I didn't listen because I was very tired.
Well, as far as I know, and this was a very big, like, complexity area that I didn't know very much about, and I tried to, and it didn't really work. And I did have my good friend Justin Bonds on the show to talk about it, and that's I'm probably gonna release that on like Tuesday or Wednesday. Talking about
this. I like
this.
Justin.
Yeah, he's a truth hammer for sure, and I like that he knows a lot about. I like that he carries the spice that I like out of people.
Yeah, that's what I like about him.
But into an area of deep knowledge that I don't know about. So it's just like the people that know a lot about all this new stuff don't tend to have that like hardcore principled, you know, background. So I have to go like, there's like the ignorance of like, oh, we're doing all this cool stuff over here. Okay, I don't understand it. People are like, big block scaling, whatever over here. Okay, but what's that? It's like, I don't know. And like, he's the only one that can kind of make sense of both together in for me currently. So, buy me a beer, Justin. Anyway, so as far as I understand it, with L2s, right, you have a separate node or ETH L2s. It's basically like a separate chain, right? You have a separate chain with separate validators that validate the transactions and stuff like that. And the thing that ties it to the L1 is a sequencer. And as far as I know, every major L2, first of all, has admin keys.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yep. That means that whoever has the admin keys in like Polygon, it's like a 5 of 8 multi-sig or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But of parties, very much like Blockstream Liquid right at this point, but they mm-hmm. could rug users. They could steal funds or whatever.
Yep.
And but also they control the sequencer, which, you know, bridges to Ethereum, that connects to Ethereum. And the mm-hmm. sequencer could be used to just like censor, be like, oh, we won't let you move to Ethereum or back, or we won't let you bridge on if you're a criminal or whatever. So that's terrible. But
yeah.
Also, one of the, from my understanding with the Dankun upgrade, what that changed, and is entirely a positive upgrade. It's not, I don't think it's a positive direction for Ethereum, but it's a positive piece of technology where basically in order to access data, basically data was very much more fragmented between all these L2s, and sounds like what Dankun does is makes data blobs, as they're called, that are just easier to access by all these L2s. So the most of the cost of the contract of like sequencing the data is way gone down. So it just makes it a lot easier to do that part. So basically dramatically lowered fees for what amounts to companies, for these companies that are running Ethereum L2. Mm-hmm. But it basically makes their cost of doing business so much lower. But the Ethereum, the decentralized network, supposedly, right, if Ethereum has not benefited in any way, as far as I'm able to know. And so this is where we get to Justin's points. I'm going to go hit on both of them, and then we can rant on this.
Yeah.
So first one, he posts, he says, blobs, which are this data blob thing that got activated in Dankun. He says, blobs do not scale ETH at all. They help scale L2s instead. Arbitrum, Optimism, Blast, Starknet, and Base can literally steal all user funds and censor right now, as we're just talking about. This is not the same as ETH's L1. People are being sold a pale imitation of Cypherpunk Dream, a clear bait and switch. Oof, so that's tough. And then the next point, which kind of brings this all together, it says, using Solana is far more decentralized compared to using the top ETH L2s.
One, I saw that tweet.
Admin keys can steal all user funds. 2, centralized sequencers can censor transactions. And 3, a single for-profit company extracts fees, as in for Polygon, for Base, and all these kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
None of this is true for Solana, so spare me the sanctimonious decentralization BS. Woo, spitting hot fire there. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he always is, right?
Yes, he's got no chill. No chill.
That's why I follow him. That's why no I chill, follow
Justin.
Him.
Yeah, it is kind of funny because I'm kind of a decentralization maxi. But I'm like a progressive decentralization maxi, meaning I'm
right,
not going
to... We've discussed before about how decentralization exists on a spectrum.
Yeah, and also I'd be willing, like, I use Polygon NFTs, as I've mentioned before, because otherwise I'd be using some weird subscription bot service thingy that, like, I'd be gathering emails in a centralized way and then just collecting money from, like, I would be doing it through completely legacy Web 2 at best rails. Yeah. And now at least it's on a permissionless so far kind of network that could mm-hmm. be rugged, but hasn't. And honestly, I didn't have to sign up to use Poly. I just started using it. Even though it's not, so I progressively decentralized a part of my subscription model thing for this channel. And not great, but it's better than it was. So in the past, I've been a critic of a lot of these ETH killers like Tron
mm-hmm.
and, of course, Solana, because they, you know, Justin's son basically runs Tron, as far as I'm aware. I've not delved too deeply in because I don't care. But Solana, in particular, Justin Bond's, before saying nice things about it more recently, was a huge critic back in the day because of a lot of like lies and stuff made by the founders. And you know, I consider Solana, because I have not updated my research, which I should, but today I have not. And as of today, I still consider it mostly a corporate chain, right?
Like, yeah. And I agree. It has even gone down this cycle still. Right. So like my perception of Solana is like, I would never hold money there because how easily could my money be trapped there?
Yeah, absolutely. I kind of feel the same way. The thing is, with Solana and Tron and Pulse and like a lot of these ones that Ethereum heads would not touch because there's like a more central figurehead or whatever. There's way fewer validators probably for all of these. There's like, you know, all these kinds of things. They're like, no, it's just nowhere near as decentralized. So yes, maybe yes. However, you're not comparing ETH to these because you're not using ETH. You're using something worse. Right. So, like, that's the thing is, like, I wouldn't say I should probably just mint my NFTs on Solana, to be honest, because that'd be better than Polygon. There wasn't really very much of a Solana ecosystem when I did it. And also, I don't know where Solana is going to be from now. Who knows, right? It sucks. But the point is, there's a great point of, like, if you're using all these corporate, you know, data chains, largely, it's a lot better than these even more corporate, quote, L2s. Because I think the ability of whoever runs Solana to rug me and, you know, I have not looked into the structure of Pulse Chain too deeply as far as, like, all the other stuff. I have not.
I would really love for you to. Yeah. I know that you've got limited time and many requests, but I think it would be amazing.
At some point, I'm going to go through, because also there's a lot of modern projects that, like, Bonds talks about in favorable things like Algo, Tezos, Multiverse X, and Near, and stuff like that. But I need to see if they're worth really investigating, because, like, how centralized are, like, the foundations that are behind it, or they're running, do they have a DAO, and what's the coin distribution? All these things that people cared about, you know, in the 2017 and before era, that just now it's like, nah. So,
yeah.
But the point is like, Ethereum to me is useless because I can't afford to use it. I have not afforded to use it in a long time.
Did you see there was a post yesterday? It was costing someone like over $300 to swap $170 worth of ETH into USDT or USDC. And it's like the swap was going to cost more than the trade was worth.
Yeah. In fact, when I got rid of the last of my on-chain ETH, I had like a few hundred bucks. And that's it. And maybe up to 500 at the peak. But I liquidated some tokens and I swapped it all to ETH and then got rid of the ETH. And I'm pretty sure that, like, of the value, maybe with all the tokens, might have been close to, like, a grand. But then the value that got out of that was, like, $400 to $600, maybe $300. It was, like, I lost most of it just consolidating to ETH and getting off of that cursed chain, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not an ETH user. And I, unfortunately, I'm used their weird centralized companies that pretend to be L2s. Same way, the comparison with Bitcoin is it's not as dramatic, because with Lightning, it does settle to two keys you control, kind of. So if you have like a two-way, whatever, it's not as bad as far as a decent, which is probably why Maxis push Lightning so much, is because they're able to say, look, it's not a centralized company or whatever. But now it's the era of Liquid, which is worse. But the point is, we got to compare what you're using to what you're using. So if you're able to do Solana or Pulse, let's just, because those are the two like hated by Bitcoin. Ones. Yeah. They're the ones that are also some of the most hated by Bitcoin and Ethereum axes.
Yeah.
I can use those with fewer trust assumptions than I can practically use Ethereum, for sure, and probably Bitcoin, because sometimes Bitcoin's on-chain fees are low enough that I can use it in, or mm-hmm. use like a Lightning wallet that doesn't have that, because most of that stuff is either custodial or like Liquid, which is like just as bad. So this is a rug pull. Is this mm-hmm. not a rug pull?
Yeah.
We got rugged. Yeah. I mean, I didn't, but I mean, I kind of got rugged in 2016, but then I left. So I left mostly left the Bitcoin ecosystem, right? Because I was using Bitcoin as my only money and I just got rugged. So I took off. And so this is kind of interesting. And I'm going to, at some point, I'm going to spoil my content right here, but that's fine because no one watches the show. Just kidding. But at some point, I'm going to do a post about, if it's decentralized, people will, they will constrict it and push off all the things onto capturable L2s, like corporate L2s. If it's decentralized and you can keep it from scaling, that's what you do. If it's centralized and scales, who cares? Because you can already control it, right? If it's decentralized and will only scale on chain, you sow toxicity in the community and get it to like eat itself from the inside. Mm-hmm. That's the three things, the three templates for how to screw up crypto that we're seeing play out. It's the number one is like Bitcoin and Ethereum got like convinced to not scale and captured mm-hmm. through the L2s. Mm-hmm. You could say Solana, you could say Hex. I've not done the research, or Hex, Pulse.
Pulse.
I've not mm-hmm. done the research into all these to see how captured they are or whatever, but if you assume that they are whatever, let's just for the purposes of that. And then you could say, oh, Bitcoin Cash. That could have been something big. But then the governance system, the governance failures, like I think there was an attack on Bitcoin Cash through all the sowing the seeds of whatever.
Yeah.
I just honestly think so. And then Monero and Zcash, very much on the same path, kind of, but I think they've done, especially from the Monero side, but they've done irreparable harm to each other's momentum through just all the shit slinging and all the toxicity and all the this. And I don't think that was completely unintentional either. I think that there was some manner of intentional, you know, shit stirring. And
yeah.
I think you could find that in the whole crypto space, if I'm honest. Just mm-hmm. probably what happened. I don't know. Do you have any spicy yeah. takes on my spicy take?
No, I think we've talked about this before. It's like, I think that within each ecosystem, within each, you know, within each arena, there have been bad actors or paid actors, you know, within everything that has had actual possibility, there have been deliberate attacks to ruin them and take them down. And most of those attacks have been highly successful.
Hmm. Yeah. Now, as far as I'm aware, right? I still think we have a lot of hope. Maybe I'm in the minority here. But
no, I mean, I hope we still have hope. I've got way too much money in the market to not.
Yeah, like all I'm able to tell is so far over the years, I've been able to use permissionless money easier and easier over the years. And so that's my barometer, and I'm happy. I am nervous, mostly happy. I'm 80% optimistic, 20%. Holy shit, this is all going away. You know, mm-hmm. or getting captured. What's your percentage?
I don't think that I've given it enough thought to give percentages. I'm hopeful, right? Like if it all goes away, I'm screwed. I'm gonna have to like work a normal job. And I don't think at this point that I'm capable of that. So I don't know what I'll do.
Yeah, I mean that is pretty crazy because I could work any number of normal jobs. So I can't imagine just like not being into this space and this tech and all this. Like, it's so much of my life learning, and I just, everything else almost is so much less interesting. But the biggest thing is I just cannot imagine going to a bank account and just getting the card back, and I get a card. Let me check my balance. And did they direct withdrawal? Did Planet Fitness hit me again? Oh no. And like,
right,
just all that nonsense, and just like, oh, inflation. And like, I just cannot imagine going back that. It's just like, it's just like a wild chimpanzee being like put into a zoo. I'm just like,
yeah,
I'm too wild out here. I'd rather throw my feces at people in peace, you know?
Like, yes, I'm with you there.
Yeah. Metaphorically speaking, these are just metaphors, people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that seems like a great like wrap up point. What do you think? Do you got a
definitely? Let's throw our feces at people in peace.
Yes. Scratch, throw, you know. I mean, what is it? Kurt's mining companies, like Gorillapool, mine like an ape. And Gorillapool, mine like an ape. Mm-hmm. And they're always doing that kind of stuff. And it's just like, yeah, I mean, join the jungle bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so shill a clock. What are you going to shill? I put up on the screen your X/Twitter account.
Yeah, that's all I want to shill right now. Follow me on X if you're, I mean, I think everybody who's watching probably does, because how many people are watching? 12?
Oh, probably less than that. Let me see what do the numbers say. Well, there's 8 on YouTube.
Okay.
But it's funny because I figured this out last show, X stopped telling you how many people are watching. Because for the longest time, it was like one person, and then people get discouraged. They tell you how many people have seen it so far. It's like a rally. And so it's 528 right now on X total.
Oh, wow.
Which is, it's kind of like inflated. It's like Canadian dollars. You know, it's kind of different exchange rate.
Sounds like a lot. Yeah.
But it's still a chunk of people.
Yeah, sure.
Gone by. But
if you're not easily like disturbed, because I've got routine spicy takes, right? And like don't hold them back, then follow me on X. If you are easily upset by these things, don't follow me. It's just better for everyone. And that's all I really like. That's all I really got to show right now, you know? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Just follow, monetize, you know. I will do a chill real quick for something on my own. Because I was just talking about, you know, follow an X. Why not? You know? Are you monetized yet? I don't remember.
I am monetized. Nice. Yeah.
Well, right now, the way you can get paid in crypto from that is you connect you withdraw to Bitwage, and Bitwage will let you get that turned into BTC or ETH or a couple ETH tokens. The fees are brutal on that. Spritz Finance is coming out with a direct deposit on-ramping thing to compete with that very soon. So you should be able to get low fee chains, like all the EVM stuff. Dash is there as well, which is, you know, my big thing into that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so if you sign up for Spritz in anticipation, if you do spritz.finance/dash, I get some kickback from that. So just that's my little shill right there.
There you go. An
unintentional shill. All right. Kind of day job leaking into side hobby here. But the point is, yeah, I want everyone to live on crypto, and might as well, right?
Yeah.
Any parting spicy thoughts or takes or anything?
No, I mean, I guess, you know, for the BSVers, you've got a choice to make, right? Like whether or not you want to try to continue the chain and rebrand as something else, you know, like that's not Satoshi's vision, that's not associated with Craig. And I mean, honestly, like I can't see why not. If that's something that the community really wants to take on, I can't see why that's not a possibility as a scalability option, just because Bitcoin layer twos are so popular right now. So why not? Like, you know, if that's something you want to do, form a little community and get behind it. And then for the, you know, Hexagons, Richard Hart people that are watching, like, I don't know what to say to you guys. Like, I say everything to you guys on Twitter all the time. So, like, I mean, take responsibility for your own actions, I suppose. Like, if you sell your you know, early end stake, you did that. Nobody held your hand. Nobody forced you. Sell your tokens. You did that. Nobody held your hand. Nobody forced you. You know, I guess stop worshiping your idols and take responsibility for your actions is the across the board take.
Yeah, that's it. There's a slight alternative take I'm gonna post that just I saw, but first the last super chat was from One Time, who said, "I just followed Nicole on X." Great.
Hey, thank you.
So we got at least one extra one. One time. One time.
Follow. Yes.
One time's great. And the last thing I just saw from, speaking of Craig Mason, who's a old acquaintance friend of mine, I guess. He's a BSVer. He posted this on, this is a great way to end the thing. Where's the news button? Here we go. He says, "In light of the COPA outcome and the resulting emotional BSV bear market, I decided to give away my three-step plan on how to recover from being endlessly Craig'd in no specific order. One, start or work on a business. Two, research Flat Earth. Three, read the New Testament." Okay.
Okay.
So I am kind of doing the first of those. I'm not a BSVer, but I'm kind of doing the first of those. I have read the New Testament many times, like mm-hmm. dozen times in my life in the past, not very much recently. Mm-hmm. I will not be researching Flat Earth.
What? Why not?
Because I'm a turtle earther. You know, the back of the turtle.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That is a joke before someone roasts me or tries to, whatever. Uh-huh. It is a joke. But no, I will not be doing that. But yeah, find peace as ye may. And have a great weekend. Have a fun St. Paddy's Day. You will not be more glamorous than Nicole's green tiara getup, but you may try. And I will see you
guys. I'd love it if people did and posted yes. their pictures.
And tag her.
Yeah, tag me.
Absolutely.
I'll share them.
Yes. And I will see you guys all next Friday. Peace out, guys. Bye-bye.